Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word. And we're going to take up today with Genesis chapter 41. We finished up 40 yesterday. We actually did three chapters. And it ended up with the baker, to Parao, being hung, and the cupbearer being restored to his position. Now, cupbearer is 49:45, and it literally means one who gives drink. So that's the deal, what the cupbearer is. But they had dreams while they were in the house of roundness, which was the prison. And now in chapter 41, Parao is going to have dreams. So let's look at what he's dreaming and get the interpretation. Because he doesn't have anything in his magicians, quote unquote, to translate the dreams. That's going to be given to Yosef to do. And that's more of Yahweh's miracles. He's going to set everything up. Pardon me. Chapter 41, verse 1. And it was at the end, that's 7093, of 2 years of time that Pharaoh dreamed, 2492, and behold, he stood by the river, 2975. Now that's speaking of the river Nile, the Nile River. That was the main water course through that area. Verse 2. And behold, from the river rose up 7 cows. That's 65:10. Beautiful in appearance. That beautiful is 3303. And appearance is 4758. Plump, 1277, of flesh, 1320, and they fed on the bulrushes. That's 260 on the bulrushes. They would eat the marsh grass by the river, full of good stuff for cows. Verse 3, and behold, 7 other, that's 312. 7 other cows rose up after, that's 310, after them from the river. Bad, 7451 of appearance. Now, that 7451 can mean evil, evil of appearance, bad of appearance. It connotates negativity wherever it's used. It's got many uses. Bad of appearance and thin, 1851, of flesh. And stood by the cows upon the edge, or the bank, or the brink, 8193, of the river. And ate the cows, bad of appearance and thin of flesh. The 7 cows, beautiful of appearance and plump. And awoke, 3364, Parao. Well, this is a dream. You know, cows don't eat cows. Unless they're fed cow parts by the Jew owners. And anyway, that's where mad cow disease comes from, eating a flesh from other cows, bone meal especially. And verse 5, and he slept 3462 and dreamed the second 8145 time. And behold, seven ears of corn. Now, ears of corn is one word in the Hebrew, 7641. Seven ears of corn came up on one stalk. 7070 for stalk. Plump, 1277 again. And good, 2896. Verse 6. And behold, seven ears of corn, thin and scorched, 7710, by the east wind, 6921, sprouted, 6779, after them. All right, the east wind is the wind from the desert area, which was just, you know, it was desert like it is in Egypt. Today, it's always been that way. It's not fertile. It's just dry and hot and worthless. So this desert wind scorched the 7 years of corn that were thin. Verse 7, and swallowed 1104 the ears of corn that were thin. The 7 years of corn, plump and full, 4392. And awoke Pharaoh, and behold, it was a dream. Well, of course, corn doesn't eat corn, but this was a dream. It's a vision he's having that's foretelling what is coming. But he can't interpret his own dream. He doesn't know what he saw. Well, verse 8. And it was, in the morning, was troubled, 6470, his spirit. And he sent and called all the magicians, 2748 of Mitzrayim, and all the wise, 2450 men. And told Pharaoh to them his dreams, but none could interpret it to Pharaoh. Okay, these magicians, they are astrologers, soothsayers, diviners. They're using false magic because these people are not Yahweh worshipers. They're of Mitzrayim, the son of Ham, they're Hamites. And they're Adamic, but they're not Yahweh worshipers. The Yahweh has not appeared to them and has not given them a covenant. They're just not Israelites. That's how it is. Spoke the chief cupbearer to Pharaoh, saying, the failing of duty of mine I remember this day. Well, yeah, that's why he was thrown in prison. He did something wrong. And it used the word sin concerning Pharaoh. What it is failing of duty. That's the same thing right here, same word. Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put us under confinement in the house of the captain of the guard, myself and the chief baker. Ah, now he's going to remember. Well, this is by Yahweh's hand too. This is special. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, each man as the interpretation of his dream he dreamed. Verse 12, and there was with us a young man, an Ibri, 5680, that means Hebrew, from the word Eber, the father of the Hebrews. He's an Ibri. servant of the captain of the guard. Remember, he had been made overseer of the prison even though he was a prisoner, because he was good at it. He was good at everything. And we told him, and he interpreted for us the dreams. Each man, as he dreamed, he interpreted. Verse 13. And it was, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me, you returned to my station, and him you hanged. Okay, yeah. Now he remembers. Because he's right there with Pharaoh. He's his cupbearer in case he wants something to drink. He can go get me a drink. And that's what he does. That's his job. Verse 14. Sent Pharaoh and called Joseph. And they rushed, 7:3-2:3, they rushed him from the pit and shaved him, 15:48, and changed, 24:98, his raiment, 8:07-1, and brought him to Pharaoh. Okay, let's examine this for a second. Just a second. Why did they shave him? They shaved his head. They shaved all the hair, shaved his eyebrows off, shaved all the hair off of him, because at that time, everybody in court was closely shaved. They had no hair whatsoever, because in their thinking, it was an abomination to appear before Pharaoh with hair on your head or your face or no beards, no nothing. That was their custom. So, even though he was an Ibri, a Hebrew, they shaved him. They cleaned off all the hair, eyebrows, beard, hair on the head, arms, everything. You had no hair. You were totally smooth. Because that was their way. So that's the reason they shaved him. Verse 15. And said Pharaoh to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and to interpret it are none. And I heard of you saying, you can hear a dream and interpret it. Well, Joseph is going to be humble. He is not going to take credit for what he knows comes from Yahweh. This is a gift from Yahweh, and he's not going to claim it as his power. It's going to be Yahweh's power. Verse 16, and answered Yosef Pharaoh, saying, not at all. Now, they have something else in the King James Version. They have, God forbid. Well, no, that's not what it says. It doesn't say that. Says, not at all. That's 11:07. Elohim will answer with peace to Pharaoh. He puts the glory on Elohim. That's as it should be. And that's why Yahweh is blessing Yosef, because of his humble spirit and the fact that he worships Yahweh. So, that's good on Joseph. Spoke Pharaoh to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. Verse 18, and behold, from the river came up seven cows, plump of flesh and beautiful of appearance, and they fed among the bulrushes. Verse 19. And behold, seven cows came after them and came up, thin and bad of appearance muchly, and emaciated, 7534, of flesh, as I never had seen such, 2007, in all the land of Mitzrayim, for badness, 7455. Verse 20, and ate the cows lean and bad, the seven cows that were first and plump. Let's see here. 21, and when they had come into their belly, 7130, you would not know that they had come into their belly. That's what it says. It's doubled. They did that in Hebrew. They doubled a lot of stuff. And their appearance was bad as at the beginning. 8462. And I awoke. In other words, they ate these other cows. Ate a whole cow. And they were still just as skinny as they were before. You couldn't tell they had anything to eat. Okay. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears of corn came up in one stalk. 4392. Now, and good. You get maybe two. Very rarely do you get three. Usually you'll get two ears on one stalk of corn. So this was unusual in itself. Verse 23. And behold, seven ears of corn, withered, 6798, thin, 1851, and scorched, 7710, by the east wind, sprouted after them, and swallowed the ears of corn that were thin, the seven ears of corn that were good. And I said this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me. Explain is 5046. Of course they couldn't explain it. They weren't anybody. They were just fakes. Mumbo jumbo, hocus pocus. They could do some tricks, but they weren't attuned to Yahweh. So how could they do any of that? Said Yosef to Parao, the dream of Parao is one. In other words, both dreams were actually the same dream with the same meaning. That which Elohim shall do is told to Parao. 26. The seven cows that are good are 7 years themselves. And the seven ears of corn that are good are 7 years themselves. The dream is one. 27. And the seven cows emaciated and bad that came up after the 7 years themselves, and the seven ears of corn empty, 7534, and scorched by the east wind, are 7 years of famine, 7458, famine. This is the thing I have spoken unto Parao, that the Elohim will do is shown, 7200, to Parao. 7200 means to see or make to see, and they use it as shown. He is made to see this. Let's 29. Behold, 7 years comes of great abundance, 7647, to all the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 30, and there shall arise 7 years of famine afterward, and shall be forgotten, 79:11, all the abundance of the land of Mitzrayim, and shall consume, 3:6:1:5, the famine, the land. Now, 3:6:1:5 means to bring to an end or finish or complete or consume. It has multiple meanings, as do most Hebrew words. They're used in context for different meanings. 31, and shall not be known the abundance of the land from before the famine that followed, for it shall be very, 3:9:6:6, severe, 3:5:1:5. And 3:5:1:5 means heavy, of great importance, severe. It means it's an extreme condition, depending on the context. It's severity. Another word with multiple meanings and uses. 32, over the duplication, 81:38, of the dream to Parao two times, 64:71, for establish, 3:5:5:9, that means made to stand, just any number of things in that context, established, made to stand. I'm at a loss for words here, which is rare. For established is the thing with the Elohim. It's Ha Elohim, with the article, the Elohim, referring to the divine being, meaning Yahweh. And promptly, 4:1:1:6, the Elohim shall do it. Now, 6:2:5:8, that means at this time, should look, 7200 again, another use for that word, Parao, for a man understanding, 9:9:5, and that means with perception, he can perceive things and comprehend things, and wise, 24:50, and set, 7:8:9:6, set him over the land of Mitzrayim, and should do this, Parao, and appoint, 6:4:8:5, that means to visit, to appoint, bring judgment on, a number of meanings for that word. Superintendents, 6:4:9:6, overseers, bosses, magistrates, things like that. Superintendents over the land. And this is one word, tax a fifth, 2:5:6:7. And I put in italics of the produce because that's what it's speaking of, and it makes more sense in English when we have that added. But if it's italicized, it's not actually in the Hebrew. It's just for clarity. It doesn't change the context. And tax a fifth of the land of the produce of the land of Mitzrayim in the seventh year of abundance. Well, of course. I mean, that's common sense. If you know there's a famine coming, and he just was informed of it. then it stands to reason, if you have good sense, you should store up a whole bunch of food enough to last 7 years of absolutely nothing, which is what is coming. Verse 35. And gather 6908 all the food 400 of these years that are good that come, and heap up 6651 to store, heap up, preserve, build up, a number of uses. Heap up grain 1250 under the hand of Parao, in other words, under his authority and his control. Because hand itself, 3027, is a symbol of power and control, given under the hand. The Torah was given by the hand of Moshe. Well, he didn't give it by the hand. He told it and had a scribe write it down. In Paleo Hebrew, not this modern block Hebrew. They didn't have any vowel points. That came with the Masoretes that put in their opinion. And if it was a different Masorete, they spelled stuff different. Oh, it's a mess. The Masoretic vowel points have got everything fouled up. They're not reliable. So, of grain under the hand of Parao, and food in the cities they shall keep, 8104, to keep watch over, to guard, to preserve, to observe, like you will keep the feasts. In other words, you will observe all the feasts that Yahweh commanded us. That's the word that they use. It shall be food for deposit, 6487, for the land for 7 years of famine that shall be in the land of Mitzrayim, that shall not be cut off, 3772, the land by the famine. Now, 3772 is used when you're going to make a covenant, you're going to cut a covenant. Covenant 3772. To be cut off from your people usually means that you're going to be killed by the people. That's the usual usage. But if you're cut off, you could be disowned, cast out. If you do this, you marry a Canaanite or whatever, you will be cut off from your people. That's the deal with that. Verse 37. Was good the thing in the eyes of Parao and in the eyes of all his servants? Well, of course. He just got due warning of what's coming from Yosef, a foreigner, an Ibri. He's interpreting the dream and giving him warning so that he can preserve all of Mitzrayim. And that's what I said. Yosef is a type of Christ. He's going to preserve the land of Mitzrayim. And when the brothers come down to buy grain because they hear that they have grain in Mitzrayim, because the whole land was in famine, he's going to eventually preserve and save his whole family of Israel. He will be the Savior to save from death by hunger the sons of Israel and Israel himself. So he is a type, a forebearer of what's coming with Yeshua Messiah today. He is our Redeemer, our Savior. And today we have a famine of knowledge. There's a dearth of understanding of Scripture out there. And the people are not being fed the food that they need by the Judeo-Christian churches. They're being starved literally to spiritual death by these people that are preaching in these businesses that they call churches. They're not getting the information that you get on EFR and some of the other networks. And I see all these other we're all working together. All this stuff is simulcast elsewhere. And Israel is waking up, and we're starting to assemble. And that's what Yahweh wants. He is going to call whom He will call. Now, He's not going to call everybody, but He's going to call His chosen remnant. And the pastors that are on here on EFR, Eli and myself and Dan and Dave, we're teaching and preaching the Word. And more and more and more people are hearing the Word. So that's our job. That's what we're called to do. And we've been at it a long time, and now things are really starting to snowball and it's catching fire. And the Word's getting out, and people are waking up. What has happened over in England with Farage having all the death threats, so he retired from politics. He was scared to death they're going to kill his family. That's how they work. So now they got a Jew in over there as prime minister. All right, well, this is meant to be. This is Yahweh's hand as well. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, folks. Believe me. We have to keep fighting. I'm not saying lay down and just accept it. But be prepared for a very nasty time to come. It's got the prince and power of the air is in control. He's running countries right now while he's doing the same thing in Great Britain. Even with that vote, they're not going to allow freedom over there. They've got them locked in. And unless they rise up and actually start hanging some of them, it's not going to change. And it's going to change when Yeshua Messiah comes back, because every government in the world will fall on that day. All of them. Not just Britain or this government, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, even those that are not Adamites. Yahweh is the divine being of the universe. He's not just our Elohim, He is the Elohim. Now, He has chosen Israel as His children, His chosen people. But He is the divine being over everything, everywhere. And even the Canaanites will bow. It's not going to save them. The Jews will bow and acknowledge. But it's not going to save them. They are doomed because of their seed line from the seed of Cain, the fallen angel, and their actions against Israel. They will be judged. They are the goat people. But even the devils know the Scripture, and they know Yahweh is the Elohim, and they tremble. Well, these are the children of the devil, as Yeshua Messiah called them in John, in the book of John, says, you are of your father the devil, and your father's works you do. And they hated him, and they trembled right there, and they tried to kill him, and it didn't do him a bit of good, because he was supposed to surrender his life. That was Yahweh's grand plan to redeem Israel. And he did it willingly, and he suffered and was beaten and tortured for us. For us, brothers and sisters. And he redeemed us. He saved us. Well, Yosef is going to take care of Israel way back when in Mitzrayim during this famine. So he is a prototype, a predecessor, a type of Christ in that day. And Christ means anointed. It means anointed. Moshiach, anointed. Christos, anointed. And he was anointed by Yahweh to do this thing for his family and for the land of Mitzrayim. So let's see how he does it. Verse 38. Paro said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, 7307 of Elohim is, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kadosh. And that's who Yeshua left behind as a comforter for us, the Ruach Kadosh, the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, said Parao to Yosef, forasmuch as Elohim has shown all of this to you, there is none so discreet and wise as you. Verse 40, you shall be over my household, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled. Because this particular Parao was young. He was young. He assumed his leadership when he was just a boy. Only in the throne shall I be greater than you. And Parao said to Yosef, see, I have put you in charge over all the land of Mitzrayim. He's going to be the administrator to gather all this grain. He's gonna run everything like he ran the jail and like he ran Potiphar's house and like he ran things for his father and was so efficient. Well, he's going to take care of all of this. Now, here's a monumental thing. Verse 42. Parao took off his ring from his hand. Now, that's the royal signet. And remember, Yehuda had a signet, and he put it up for a pledge to his daughter-in-law, and he wanted to get that signet back because that's the symbol of authority. Parao took off his ring from his hand and put it on Yosef's hand and arrayed him in clothing of fine linen and put a chain of gold about his neck. Now, when they're talking about fine linen, Egyptian cotton is the finest cotton in all the world. Period. Still is. They raise a tremendous amount of cotton because it is a finer cotton as far as diameter than the other cotton in the world, like American cotton. We use American cotton for a lot of things. But Egyptian cotton, when you have sheets for your bed made out of Egyptian cotton, they are smoother and softer than sheets made out of, say, American cotton. You can make shirts and stuff out of American cotton, but the fine linen, because of the fineness of the thread of the cotton, is Egyptian cotton. And they're famous for that. Verse 43. And he made him ride in the second chariot that he had. This is a royal chariot. Wow. And they cried before him, Abrek! That means bend the knee, bow the head. That's a command. They had a caller that was running before the chariot, crying out, Abrek! Abrek! There's a royalty coming through. And everybody hit their knees. They took a knee. 44. Said Parao to Yosef, I am Parao, and without. 1107. And they have no connection there. Your command is in italics for to connect. And without your command shall no man, it would read without, no, shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Mitzrayim. So your command is the connector, but it's not actually in the Hebrew. Verse 45, and Parao called Yosef's name Safnath Paneach. That's one word, 6847. That's T-S-A-P-H-N-A-T-H, Safnath Paneach. And he gave Asnath, A-S-E-N-A-T-H, number 621, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, 204, to him for a wife. Whoa, man. I'm going to look that up. What is that? Verse 43. It is, let's see. Yeah. That Abrek is Egyptian, and it's unclear. In Coptic, which is very close, it means prostrate yourself, or Aprek with a P, as head bowed. So that's an approximation. So I knew I had another note on that. It's from the Coptic, which is what they speak over there now. That's what the original Egyptian language metamorphosed into today. It has changed, but that's a close approximation of it. Verse 46, and Yosef was 30 years of age when he stood before Parao, king of Mitzrayim, and went forth Yosef from the presence of Parao and passed through all the land of Mitzrayim. Well, yeah, he was setting up all these grain houses and having buildings built for storage and great huge jars made that they could seal to keep out the vermin from the grain, and just getting everything ready. 47, and in the seven plenteous 7847 years, the land brought forth food by the handfuls. 7062. In other words, it was a bumper crop for 7 years, just more than they ever expected. Well, that was by Yahweh's hand too. Because he makes crops grow or not. 48. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Mitzrayim and stored the food in the cities, the food of the field which was around every city. He stored in the same way. Yosef gathered 6651 corn 1250 as the sand 2344 of the sea, very much until he ceased counting 5608 because it was without number. In other words, they had so much they couldn't even count it. And this was going to have to last them for 7 bad years. Verse 50. To Yosef were born 2 sons before the years of the famine came, which bore to him Asnath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Yosef called the name of the firstborn Menashe. That's Menashsheh. 4519. For Elohim has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Ooh, really? He had become very prosperous in Mitzrayim, and was so busy he forgot that his brothers had sold him into slavery. 52. The name of the second he called Ephraim. Ephraim. Number 669. For Elohim has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction, 6040. And peri is fruit of, okay? So Ephraim means to be fruitful. 53. The 7 years of plenty that was in the land of Mitzrayim were ended. Okay. That ends the bounty. 54. The 7 years of dearth, D-E-A-R-T-H, began to come. That means lack. A great lack. An emptiness. In English, a lot of people, dearth, that's old English, but that's what it means. When I say there is a dearth of knowledge, I said that a little earlier, there's a lack of knowledge of our people, of what Scripture actually says. The 7 years of dearth began to come, according to what Yosef had said, and the dearth was in all the lands. Now, this is a land where Israel was living too. The whole area there, not just Mitzrayim. There was a drought and a famine all over the place. But in all the land of Mitzrayim, there was bread. 55. When all the land of Mitzrayim was famished, 7456, the people cried to Pharaoh, at 6817, they cried to Parao for bread. And Parao said to all the Mitzri, go to Yosef. What he says to you, do. He said, don't bother me with this. I've got an overseer. You need to go see him. So that's what they did. 56. And the famine was over all the face of the land. Yosef opened all the storehouses and sold 7666 to the Mitzri. And the famine was strong 2388 in the land of Mitzrayim. That means strength, mighty. They use that for mighty men, strong men as well. 57. And all countries came into Mitzrayim to Yosef in order to buy. And I have corn in here in the italics because of the prior verses where it says the corn is what they gathered. Because the famine was so bad in all lands. This is just the entire area was hit by this horrendous famine. And that includes the area that Jacob and his sons were. And we're going to cover that in chapter 42 tomorrow. And this whole segment in here is going to be very, very interesting of the way that he treats his brothers. He's going to mess with them real hard. And I don't want to get into that today because this whole section is just fascinating. And I look forward to tomorrow when we're going to get into chapter 42. But we see a lot of foundation building here. Now when Yosef is in the land, these are a different people that are going to be there from the people that were ruling in the time of Moshe. These were Hamites, and they were Adamic people. But later on in Exodus, as they're going to say, in the King James, it says there arose a new king over Israel, but that word they use for over means against. We'll get into that when we get into Exodus. But there was a king that rose against Israel and conquered it. He was a Hyksos, and they were Hittites, a branch of the Hittite people that Esau had married into. And they did not know about Yosef because they were not real Egyptians. They were Hyksos. Well, I want to set this up before we get into Exodus, that the people in the time of Yosef are a different people that ruled. Now, the common people remained the same. But in the time of Moshe, there were different rulers of a different race. The race that we have ruling today, the Edomites, They're of Hittite blood as well. And the cruelty that was inflicted upon Israel by these people is the same kind of cruelty we see being inflicted upon us today. So the Mitzrayim in Yosef's time were very grateful that Yosef, who was deeply in touch with Elohim, with Yahweh, had saved them. And he was revered in the land. He was second to Pharaoh and just did wonderful things for these people. And they were of a different bloodline, so they appreciated what this Hebrew Israelite, because he was a son of Israel, had done for Mitzrayim. Well, the Hyksos will not, because they are of their father the devil, and the devil's work they will do. Well, the same way with the Edomite, Canaanite, Talmudic rulers that you see manipulating the world, as they just manipulated over in Britain. They hate us because they are of their father, the devil, and their father's works they do. So what can you say? It's forecast in Scripture that we will have this time of Jacob trouble. We're in the time of Jacob's trouble right now. Before the tribulation, when things break down and they become extremely vicious and start to kill us en masse, that's coming. We need to prepare for that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. All the guys that listen to EFR pretty much. If you can turn your friends that are not aware on to what's going on here, it would be a blessing. If you care for them at all, introduce them to the truth, because we don't want to lose them. A remnant is a remnant. I understand that. It's a smaller part of the whole. But it does not make me care less about the Israelites that are still asleep. I really, really care about them. And you should too. It grieves me to think that we're going to lose this many people. It really upsets me. It breaks my heart. And I do what I can. All I can do is teach here. I'm an old man. I'm not out on the street doing a lot of stuff. I'm not running around in some kind of uniform. I was born with my uniform. My white skin is my uniform, brothers and sisters. And yours is too. We don't need to dress up and play games. We're wearing our uniform from birth. Yahweh knows who we are. And Yahweh also knows that they are, the enemy is not of our seed line. I just tried to exhort my brothers and sisters to righteousness, so you come under the blessing that Yahweh has for us. I care about you greatly. May Yahweh bless and keep all of you, and I will talk to you all again tomorrow when we get into the next chapter, chapter 42. And I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you.